Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Paul McCartney, McCartney.
Oh, I think that's an early one.
It's his first solo album.
There you go.
It's the one he played all the instruments on.
So this would have been like 1970, 71, something like that?
Yeah, in 1970, I believe. It came out, I think, the day that the Beatles announced they'd broken up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Beatles broke up. So here's Paul McCartney solo stuff.
Yeah. So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, Paul McCartney retreated from the spotlight of the Beatles by recording his first solo album at his home studio, performing nearly all of the instruments himself. Appropriately, McCartney has an endearingly ragged homemade quality that makes even its filler, and there is quite a bit of filler, rather ingratiating. Only a handful of songs rank as full-fledged McCartney classics, but those songs, the light folk pop of That Would Be Something, the sweet gentle Every Night, and the ramshackle Beatles leftover Teddy Boy, and the staggering Maybe I'm Amazed, not coincidentally the only rocker on the album, are full of all the easy melodic charm that is McCartney's trademark. The rest of the album is charmingly slight, especially if it is read as a way to bring Paul back to earth after the heights of the Beatles. At the time, the throwaway nature of much of the material was a shock, but it has become charming in retrospect. Unfortunately, in retrospect, it also appears as a harbinger of the nagging mediocrity that would plague McCartney's entire solo career. Okay, so whoever wrote that doesn't like Paul McCartney very much.
Well, not his solo stuff.
Yeah.
I think Wings is all right.
Wings is good. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So this was released on the 17th of April, 1970. It was recorded at Paul McCartney's home studio. The genre is lo-fi. Label is Apple Records and produced by Paul McCartney as well.
The genre is lo-fi?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there's side one. It has seven songs on side one. So it starts with The Lovely Linda and ends with Man, We Was Lonely. So we'll stop halfway through at the end of side one and to discuss and take a break. And yeah, so if you're listening along, that's what we're going to do. And we are, here we go. Here's the first song on the album, The Lovely Linda. Okay, ending side one with Man, We Was Lonely. Yeah, there... Okay, so fair enough. There is a lot of filler on on here.
It seems like it's an album of a lot of ideas that hadn't been flushed out into full songs yet. Not that there's, you know, there's a few, you know, songs. And they're not bad or anything like that. And it's just some of them are... Some of these tunes are really more ideas that probably... should have been given a little bit more time to bring for something to come out of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe he needed the other Beatles in the room at that time.
Well, I think so, and I think if you watch that Peter Jackson documentary from a few years ago about the Let It Be sessions, I think, you know, it was kind of the writing was on the wall. I mean, they were breaking up at that time, and there was a point in that documentary where, like, George quit the band at one point, and they talked him into coming back. And it seemed to me that Paul kind of took the breakup of the Beatles the hardest, because it was John Lennon's decision to dissolve the Beatles. In, I think it was like just after Abbey Road came out, they had a meeting and said, well, I'm leaving the band, and, you know, that's that. And I think George obviously was ready to move on, because he had stockpiled all these songs that they weren't letting him record, basically.
I mean, John Lennon didn't sign the papers to officially dissolve the Beatles until 1974, but it was essentially his idea.
It was his decision to to leave the group, and but they didn't publicly announce it until early 1970. But it had already been like 6 months since they had done anything, so he was ready to move on. George was ready to move on and do his own things because he wanted to express himself. I think Ringo probably would have preferred the band to keep going, but he was, you know, not in any, like, he would have been fine as a session drummer. Like, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ringo is kind of the guy who's sitting back, and he watched the drama go on. So he knew. I mean, they all knew. So.
Yeah, but Paul seemed to be the one that really was pushing to keep the band together. And when it finally ended, I think he's the one that took it the hardest. And I hear that. Here, like, he's the only one playing all these, like, this I mean, no, like, we just the song Man We Was, this feels like a lonely album. Like, it's just him. It feels very isolating to me. I mean, I don't know if it's just knowing that he's playing all the, it's just him, but it feels it feels like he was a big part of this huge group. I mean, nobody at the time was, I mean, arguably they're still the most popular band in the world. And, you know, it's like going from all that craziness to now he's just in a room by himself with a guitar and making this album. And it's such a stark contrast, you know. And I feel that depression and that loneliness on everything on this album.
Yeah, I can sort of, I hear where you're coming from. I can just especially hear it, like, some of these ideas, you just know that most likely John, but one of the other Beatles would have taken the idea and added something else to it. And it's just, and it probably would have happened somewhat rapidly, like when he was playing Get Back. Like, he sort of, like, turned it into the song. I mean, it was mostly Paul doing that, but the other Beatles, you know, they helped move it along by them picking up the instrument and everything and finding the right groove and having everything sort of just fall into place.
Yeah. Well, and that scene in that film, it's like, yeah, it's mostly Paul just coming up with a song, but he's still, there's still an energy in the room of collaboration. Even if George and John aren't doing anything, they're still there watching him, and there's still the energy of, we're doing this together. Even if in that moment it's just Paul doing something. So there was, I was reading something interesting on the background of this album. It says, so after John Lennon requested a divorce from the Beatles, and this is on Wikipedia. So after John Lennon requested a divorce from the Beatles in a band meeting in September of 1969, Paul McCartney withdrew to his farm in Campbelltown, Scotland. Author Robert Rodriguez describes his frame of mind as brokenhearted, shocked, and dispirited at the loss of the only job he had ever known. While John Lennon's departure was not made official, partly for business reasons, McCartney's period in seclusion with his family coincided with widespread rumors in America that he had died, an escalation of the three-year-old Paul is dead rumor. The rumor was dispelled by journalists from BBC Radio and Life magazine, who tracked him down at his farm, High Park. McCartney's 2 months in Scotland created an estrangement between him and his bandmates, further to the division caused by their appointment of Alan Klein as business manager in May that year. McCartney later cited Klein's appointment as the first irreconcilable difference within the Beatles, since he continued to favor New York lawyers Lee Eastman and John Eastman, father and brother respectively of his wife Linda. For McCartney, the period following Lennon's departure was also marked by a bout of severe depression, during which, in his own estimation, he came close to suffering a nervous breakdown. So, yeah, he really took it hard, the band breaking up. And I think actually that's like a year or so after this, he puts together a new band. Like, he just really wanted to be in a band again. Like, he didn't want to be a solo artist.
Yeah, that's when Wings came about. And to be honest, that does seem to be where he thrives the best. He needs that collaboration. He's really good at. I'm not disparaging him at all, saying, oh, he's crap when he doesn't have any. But he's honestly better. That's where his strengths are. His strengths are with when he has somebody else to bounce ideas off. And I get that, because I'm the same way.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, there's something to be said about I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah. So, and I think that's why there are, like, just these germs of ideas here, and they're not fully fleshed out. I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a mistake putting this album out in that state, but
no, I just don't think he really had anything else to do at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it is interesting, and it's an interesting snapshot of his frame of mind, you know, at that time. I guess we'll move on to the second side of the album, and it starts off with the song Ooh You. So here we go. All right, and ending the album with Creen a Croar. I think that's how you say that. Sort of a drum instrumental thing there.
Yeah, one thing you really get to hear in this album is that how good of a guitar player Paul McCartney is. And if you didn't realize that some of the guitar parts on the Beatles was to Paul McCartney, this showcases that it is. And he really was actually a really good guitar player. I mean, we all know he's a very good bass player, but he's a very good guitar player, too.
Yes, he is, yeah. And not a bad drummer, too, you know?
No, apparently he was, you know, well, you know, the drumming, it still seems fairly basic for what he was, accomplishing, certainly better than, like, the average layman or something like that who's never picked up a pair of drumsticks, but, you know, creative people. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting collection of ideas and stuff like that. Maybe I'm Amazed is, of course, like, probably the best song on the album.
Yeah, it's the one that's the most, I think, it's the most, it really is the only fully formed idea, I think. Well, maybe not.
Some of the other ones, I mean, some of the other songs, believe it or not, work fairly well as instrumentals. Like,
yeah, Mama Miss America.
Miss America was not, that wasn't bad. The whole time I was listening to it, I was thinking, now I really wonder if this was, if this idea was brought to the Beatles, what would, you know, George Harrison or John Lennon or even Ringo would have contributed to it? What would they have turned it into? And I kept thinking that through a lot of these different ideas. It's just, it's a really interesting snapshot of like, take one person from the world's biggest band and just kind of like, see the ideas that just shake them a little bit and see what ideas come out, if you know what I mean. And this is sort of what you get.
Yeah. Well, actually, the one song on here, well, two songs on here were actually attempted to be recorded by the Beatles. One was Junk and the other was Teddy Boy. And Teddy Boy, I think Junk was maybe written during the White Album, and then Teddy Boy was part of the Get Back, Let It Be sessions. And here's what it says. It's kind of funny, actually. It's McCartney first played the song. They're talking about Teddy Boy. McCartney first played the song to the other Beatles on the 9th of January, 1969. The Beatles did not return to the song until the 24th of January, recording several takes. This recording includes some instances of guitar feedback. During one rendition of the song, John Lennon is heard calling do-si-do and other square dance steps, something both musicologist Walter Everett and Beatles historian Mark Lewisohn ascribe to Lennon's boredom with the song. Musicologist and writer Ian MacDonald writes that any attempts at recording the song were sabotaged by Lennon's continuous verbal of parody. So like he tried to bring those songs to the Beatles, and they just,
to be true, but I honestly kind of like the like some of the recordings. Like, it's just a little, that little snapshot of humor that I think is kind of funny. I mean, whatever John Lennon's intentions were behind it, it's just that sort of snapshot. I almost feel like they could have left it in and put it out.
But, you know, honestly, Paul McCartney is such a perfectionist. He wouldn't have
gone for that.
Yeah. That's part of what led to the Beatles breakup is, I mean, honestly, they probably would have fizzled out. Like, they probably would have broken up, like, after their last tour date. You know, they kind of all split off, and then Paul McCartney had the idea for Sgt. Pepper, and then they all came back together to record that. And so if it weren't for Paul McCartney, I think the Beatles probably would have split up at the end of 1966.
Which is, they wouldn't have been as big as they were. I mean, they were already fairly big, but they wouldn't have had all this other material. Oh, man, they would have had they would have had my two favorite albums. They would have had Rubber Soul and Revolver in the can, and that's not a bad note to end on. But the band would not be quite as legendary as they are now.
If they hadn't done the White Album, or Abbey Road, or any of that
or
stuff,
or even Sgt. Pepper.
Sgt. Pepper, yeah.
Yep.
But it was, and it ultimately led to the end of the band, was McCartney. Two things happened. Brian Epstein, their manager, died, and really after they stopped touring, he wasn't really doing much anyway, because he was basically a tour manager. And
his is a sad story.
Yeah,
Brian Epstein.
Yeah, he overdosed on pills, and so they were without a manager for a long time until Alan Klein came in. I mean, they had Derek Taylor, who was working at Apple, but he wasn't really a manager. And, but they like, basically Paul took over as the manager. And the first thing that he did was the Magical Mystery Tour, which
was an interesting idea.
Which is an interesting idea. But he basically just took over the band. And even though John Lennon started the band, he sort of, you know, almost took a back seat, and Paul McCartney kind of became the sort of quote unquote leader of the band. And if it weren't for Paul McCartney, they would have broken up, but also he was maybe getting a little too pushy. And so that's really the conflict. And then obviously the arguing over Alan Klein
I don't think he was as pushy as, say, Roger Waters got, though. That's a whole other level. I love Pink Floyd and I love Roger Waters and stuff like that, but holy cow, he kind of became a bit of an asshole in the last few years of there, really, before he was booted out of the band.
Yeah. Yes, he did. But no, anyway, getting back to this album, I think, like I said before, it's an interesting snapshot to see McCartney's frame of mind at this time and him dealing with the breakup of his band and basically really having an identity crisis. It's like, well, if I'm not part of the Beatles, who am I? But anyway, the question is, would you listen to this album again?
You know what? Oddly enough, I probably would, because it's just, I like the ideas that he's putting out there, and I like sort of imagining what would have been, sort of. I mean, some of these ideas would sort of be like, it's almost like you could take some of these ideas, create your own song around it, and credit him as a co-writer.
Really? Yeah. You really could. I mean,
that's sort of what you almost want to do with some of this. And there's actually some full songs on here, and they're worth listening to. There's at least about five or something that, I mean, of 13 tracks, and five. Well, I mean, it is an odd album, but I'd probably listen to it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. And for the same reason, I mean, even the not complete ideas are still pretty interesting. And yeah, I agree. I would absolutely listen to this again. And it's just a fascinating, and the follow-up to this album that he did, it's called Ram, is really cool too, and it's along the same lines, although he did go into a studio and record, and there, it's not just him, there's session musicians.
And I think there's the ideas again are a little more fleshed out.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a cohesive album.
Yeah, but he also had, you know, co-conspirators at the time too, you know, bounce ideas off of, because again, that was his strong suit. I mean, he liked having, I don't know, another personality in the room with him who is a musician, who kind of understood the language. If not like, you know, the writing of the music or anything like that, but just the idea, someone who gets what you're trying to do.
Yes, exactly. I think Linda was actually a big collaborator in that regard too.
I was gonna mention is like the one thing that you definitely get out of this album, and you sort of get to understand why he got so, I mean, they were like basically inseparable for what, 30, 40 years before she finally died, unfortunately passed. I guess probably was only about 30. That's sort of a shame. She was obviously a very strong, she basically held him together as he was, you know, kind of falling apart after the break of the Beatles.
I think you're right. I think he does thrive better when collaborating, because after the breakup of Wings, he did McCartney 2, which is another album of just him. And during the pandemic, he did McCartney 3, different circumstances, just because he wanted to do it and he was stuck at home.
I think it gave him sort of the similar sort of feeling as after a band breakup, except this time it's like breaking up from the whole society. The world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, here I am, alone in my studio, click, see what I come up with.
It's really what it is. It's hearing his thought process.
And it almost feels like this is a musician's album in a lot of ways. Whereas I guess it really takes a musician to sort of appreciate it. I think the average listener would probably think it was just very odd. And it is odd. But yeah, if it's like a demo put out to the rest of the world to, you know, see what they think of it, it's almost, like you're the co-collaborator.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it, and a good point to end the episode on. So I guess we'll end it there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can always reach out to us by going to the contact page of our website, polyphonicpress.com, and while you're there, you can check out previous episodes, And if you'd like to support the show, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/polyphonicpress. It's really easy. You don't need to sign up for anything. And all those links are in the show notes. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.